Recently, in Huntersville, a little boy named Johnny, who is a very, very bright five-year-old, told his dad that he really wanted a baby brother. So his dad, who is a very bright 35-year-old, said, "Well, you know what, Johnny? If you pray every night, I bet in about 2 months, God will give you one." Johnny responded eagerly to his dad's request and even went to bed early that night so that he could begin praying. He prayed every night for a whole month. But after some time, he got to get, you know, a little skeptical. So he starts asking around his neighborhood and came to find out that nothing like this had ever happened in the history of his neighborhood. You don't just pray for 2 months and then whammo, get a new baby brother. So Johnny gave up praying. After another month, Johnny's mother goes to the hospital, comes home, and his dad calls him into the room and says, "Come here, we have a special surprise." And inside of a beautiful blanket was not just one, but two baby brothers. His dad said, "Well, aren't you so glad that you prayed?" Johnny hesitated a little bit, then looked up at his dad and said, "Yeah, but aren't you glad I quit when I did?" As cute as this portrayal of prayer is, we say, you know, that's not how prayer works. Johnny's dad was just playing a cute little trick on him, but the truth is, so many of us actually pray the way that Johnny did. When we want something or need something, we're very attentive and dedicated to prayer. But when a few days or weeks go by and we don't see an immediate answer, like little Johnny, we tend to give up. A few of the questions that Fred has received for his series, "Jesus is the Answer, What Are Your Questions?" had to do with prayer. And these are questions that I get from friends and family and the youth very often as well. Why? Because prayer is something we hear about all the time. We're told, just pray about it. And we're even guilty of doling out, "I'll pray for you," in situations, but then we seldom follow through on that promise. Prayer is arguably one of the most talked about and desired aspects of our faith that we really know the least about. Prayer is something that all of us want to do more, want to get better at, wish we had more time for, but we just don't think we know how. So today, Jesus is inviting us to look a little bit deeper at just two, not a lot, just two small steps to rejuvenate or jumpstart your prayer life. When I think about prayer and try to come up with an illustration, I'm reminded of my sweet JB. I think back to him as a tiny baby and an early toddler, and as his mama, I could not only explain what his different cries meant, I could predict when a meltdown or a crying spell was about to happen. As parents, we know our children inside and out, and we often amaze people around us with our magical powers to decipher between this means water, but that means toy, and at this time of day, you better get the Binky toy and not the Baba toy because that'll just set him off. We are parents, and we have an ability to speak a special language. We can predict the future and often hold the key to understanding this little alien being that truly is a precious gift from God. And as with our precious babies, when we cry out to God, so often in our anguish, we are speaking gibberish ourselves, a gibberish that only our Father can understand. Mine sounds something like this: "God, I just need you. I don't know why. I've got so much in my life going on that's wrong. I've got so much in my life going on that's right. Ugh, God, I need you. I don't even know what to pray. I don't know what to say." Have you ever heard a child say, "I just need you"? One of our precious children, Carter Benson, recently looks up at his dad on a Friday night after a long week of kindergarten, tears streaming down his face, and just said, "I just need a bigger hug." Carter, I think we could all relate to that. Have you ever picked your child up at the end of a school day from daycare, the babysitter, or just even walked into a room where they were and they just completely lose their mind? You look around completely baffled and wonder, what on earth just caused this pointless meltdown? Or does it just me? Is it the sight of me that makes you that miserable? If you have, you are definitely not alone. I read a quick article, it was really more of a blog post, but it talked about why your children's behavior is 800% worse when you're around. And it's because they have held it together all day. They have braved through their day, making it through challenges, hurts, disappointments, scary situations, and they didn't break down. And then by the time they see you, they know they are finally safe, and they literally just let it all out. The battle that you're watching them fight in that moment has nothing to do with you. They are just finally allowing themselves to be free and let it go. And I think about that. I read that, and I kind of wished, man, wouldn't that be nice? You come home at the end of the day, and you just sob. You scream. You roll around on the floor, and then somebody says, you better go to bed early tonight. Well, I'm not encouraging you to go have a temper tantrum as good as it would feel. I might have done it myself this weekend. I don't know. But what I'm offering you is to just let it go before God. When we pray, we are his children coming to him at the end of a day. We've held it together. We've done our best. And we just say, God, I need a bigger hug. I don't even have the words. Please just let me be in your presence. For those of us struggling to begin a prayer life or rejuvenate the lacking prayer life we currently have, this is where you've got to start. It begins by letting it all out, letting it go before God. The first step to rejuvenating your prayer life is so often the one that keeps us from having a relationship with Jesus, from having that relationship he created us to have, because it's that big, bad, scary, horrible word that no one, sorry, especially men, dare mention. Vulnerability. Our children are completely vulnerable with us, especially in those younger years. They hide nothing. They share everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. As adults, we have this mindset that we've got to keep it all together. Sometimes it feels like, you know, if I just let it go, let it out, open the floodgates, I don't know that I'd be able to cut it off. I don't know that I'd stop crying or stop lamenting. Vulnerability also means that we're forced to fess up to those secret shames that we keep buried so deep. It means we have to be open and honest about our feelings, our doubts, and fears. It means you have to be 100% honest. The truth of the matter is, vulnerability is often so difficult because we have buried that hurt and that doubt and that shame so deep for so long, we're actually not even sure what's down there anymore. Admitting that there are things bothering us, things we've kept hidden, it's difficult to face because we're not sure what we would discover about ourselves. Being vulnerable before other people is really difficult. Very few of us are actually able to fully do it. But being truly vulnerable before God is even scarier. Because then we have to be honest with ourselves, and we're not so sure we want to do that. However, I do have good news for you. As enlightening and freeing as it would be for me to say, go, walk out of here, go spend time with God today, just get vulnerable, spend a few hours and bury your soul, get it all out. First of all, I know none of you would do that. And second of all, even if you tried, we'd still struggle. Because that other big thing keeping us from a prayer life is we don't know what words to say. And this is where the good news comes in. You don't have to have the words. You don't have to have any words, in fact. To start with step one of rejuvenating your prayer life, let's look to Scripture for a little guidance. But before I read this scripture, I want you to open up your minds for a second. I want you to picture a tiny toddler standing before their mom or dad and they're so young, they don't have vocabulary yet to express what they're feeling or what they need. And in fact, you know how they are. They really don't even know what they want or need. They're just incoherently sobbing. Now imagine in your mind that you are that toddler, looking up to your heavenly Father, and let's read Romans 8:26. Meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside, helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs and aching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves. Could you see yourself wordless, exhausted, and just standing before God? The amazing news from this piece of scripture is He gets it. Come to Him. There's no need for fancy language, no need for words at all. Just come. Take this first step to rejuvenating your prayer life. Just get before God and let the Holy Spirit do the rest. And that can happen no matter when you pray. In the morning, while you're driving around, midday, in the evening, just say, "All right, Lord, I'm here. I'm ready." Do the praying. Just intercede on my behalf. It sounds easy enough. And as somebody who has actually done this and has had moments like this before, let me share with you what my experience is like. In those moments when I first start and I begin to pray like this, I kind of waffle back and forth between feelings of anger, and then sadness comes up, and then grief, and then fatigue. And I know that sounds delightful, but hang on, because that's when the Holy Spirit begins stirring in my heart. He gets down into those places in my heart that I keep buried, those feelings that I really wrestle with, I don't want to feel, I don't want to get vulnerable with. And He gets down there. He is working to bring it all to the surface. When I struggle to get vulnerable, He takes it out and He gets vulnerable for me. And then that is where I breathe and I feel peace. I begin to feel lighter. I begin to feel like just the world has been lifted off of my shoulders. And I've not even uttered the first properly worded prayer yet. We serve and worship a God who made Himself human, made Himself vulnerable enough to the point that He was crucified on a cross in a tiny cloth, crucified on the cross in a tiny cloth, experiencing this humiliating, brutal death so that He could intercede on our behalf. So for those of you who wonder, is prayer important? All you have to do is look to the cross for your answer. Jesus died so that we could enjoy eternity, but then He didn't just leave us down here to figure it all out while we're here. He died so that He could then intercede on our behalf. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father so that when I am at my lowest point, I am so messed up, I don't even know how to pray, He does it for me. He bears that cross again for me on a daily basis. If you're wondering, is prayer important? I don't know. Just look at the cross and you tell me. Would Jesus have died to give you something that's not important or necessary? The first step is an easy one, an extremely, excruciatingly important, but an easy one. Just get open before God. Allow yourself to be vulnerable. Ask the Holy Spirit to get vulnerable for you first. Jumping back into our illustration of our children before their parents, let's look to our children again for our moment for step two. After they come out of those baby toddler years, they begin to talk. They can communicate with us, understand us, and we them. And as they get older, we are guiding and scaffolding them along, and we do this through communication with one another. they begin talking with us, and of course they begin pouring out request after request. They fight us, they test the boundaries, but then we're still right there, guiding them along and giving them that hug when they need it. As selfish or as greedy as this seems, our goal in parenting is to make our children look more like us. We do our best to instill in them the values that we hold dear. We want them to be their individual selves, but our charge as parents is to create these beings who are productive, helpful citizens in our society. So the same is true for us in our prayer life. As we grow in spiritual maturity through communication with Jesus, we are aiming to look and live more like Jesus. And this is where we find ourselves in step two. We need to adopt and fully grasp the point of prayer. Prayer can no longer be viewed as your direct line to a personal genie, and it can no longer be viewed as a Band-Aid service to slap on when you don't feel good or you just want to feel better about yourself. Prayer was meant to be an open communication leading to a genuine relationship with your Lord and Savior. That is when your lives begin to look different, begin to feel different. And that is the point. That's what we want, after all. When we cry out to God in those times of trouble, we make all kind of promises. Because it's in those weak moments that we're forced to say, God, you are right. I don't glorify you. I don't prioritize you in my life. I'm living for myself and my sinful, selfish desires. But God, please spare my child who is so sick. I promise you, if you do, I will live the way you want me to. God, if you just heal my grandmother, if you just get me through this trial, if you just get me that job, I promise I will live for you. I will do whatever you want me to do. We make these great promises, not because God is some big dictator in the sky who says, do this to get that, but it's because in those weak moments that we realize, you know what? That life you have for me has got to be better than this. And then sadly, when the trial is over, our grandparent is healed or goes to be with Jesus, we slip back into life, living it the way we were for ourselves. How quickly we forget those promises we make in our darkest hours. To truly rejuvenate your prayer life, you have to look at prayer as your lifeline. It's the way that you learn and understand to live and love the way that Jesus wants you to. It's accepting that life he created for you to live. People have asked Fred, so is prayer necessary? I've had kids say, well, I mean, if God has this will for my life, he's going to just do what he wants anyway, so does my prayer affect it at all? Does it may even really matter? Well, Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3 says, call to me, and I will answer you, and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. The answer that we're given here is to call, and he will answer. And then not only is he going to answer, but he will make his will known far greater than you could ever imagine. And I know I can hear the groans and see the rolling of the eyes. I've been there, I've heard that, but doubted it could really be that simple, ask and receive. But it is. Because if it were any different, God would not have made it so plainly obvious. Looking in Scripture, ask and receive, seek and find. He talks about it so many times in Scripture. But then we read it and kind of put in a footnote. We struggle to believe that prayer really works this way. Because, you know, I tried it, and it didn't work for me. I prayed, and I didn't get an answer. So that must not be true. All I can do is share with you my personal experience on this note. Although I work in ministry, I struggle in my prayer life. I struggle in my walk with Jesus. I've lifted up prayers convinced they're not going any higher than the ceiling. I have times of frustration and anger and hurt, and I even doubt the goodness of God. I doubt that prayer works and is effective. Why did my grandfather die and leave the mess that he did? Why did my brother have to be an addict? Why didn't God let me say goodbye to him? Why did God wait so long and keep us in trial while we waited for Jimmy to find a job? Why did God disappoint me all of those times? And those are just my recent whys. My entire life has been filled with whys. Why did that boy break my heart? Why did I have to struggle through those temptations and addictions? Well, unlike most will admit, unlike most even realize, I actually do have the answer to my questions. Most of you have heard before that I keep a prayer journal, and I do recommend it to everybody, but you have to do what works for you. And for me, journaling works. But because I journal, I then get to go back, and I get to answer my difficult whys. So when I'm in those times of doubt, and I wonder if God is hearing this prayer that I'm praying right this moment, I go back in my life since I was a freshman in college, I can read and see where he's answered my prayers. Sometimes it's concrete. I was not supposed to be with that boy back in high school because, well, Jimmy. I seriously could not have imagined a better husband and a better life than I have with him. Our story is my favorite prayer to go back and read through. Watching God guide me through hurts and mistakes to this amazing person that I could not imagine my life without. So here's where I want to read you a sample. So I've got a picture of Jimmy and I. Niall, if you'll flip. So this is a picture of Jimmy and I. We first started dating. I gave him this on our first dating anniversary. And the left side is a prayer I prayed the night before we met. And then the right side is a prayer that I prayed the night after I met him. And so I was looking, and this is my prayer journal from 2008. And I was looking through it this week to see what those prayers said so that I could read them, because it's kind of hard to see. And then I came across this one. So this is from April 1st, 2008, and it's the night that Jimmy asked me to be his girlfriend. And so I said, "Dear God, thank you so much for the relationship you blessed me with starting tonight. I know that it was all you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us. Allow me to have fun and really just enjoy every step of the process. I also ask that while I do not yet know the perfect man that you designed for me, well, who he is anyway, I pray that you would continue to shape me into the woman and Jimmy into the man you designed us to be for our significant others." And so I continued to pray for a while that God would shape us into the spouse that our spouse needs, even if it meant it wasn't each other, which is obviously what I wanted and got. Thank you. I told you, it's really fun to go back and read. But anyway, so that is where I was able to find God molding my life and bringing me to this place that I wouldn't have been had I not been praying for it. Other times, the answers I seek for my why are not so clear. But that, again, is where the Holy Spirit grabs hold of my heart and just hugs me bigger. Most of the time when I can't find the answer, it's because maybe enough time is yet to go by for me to understand. And then there are answers that I know or I'm not meant to understand on this side of heaven. My brother is a big why in my life. Because I try to seek and understand, God continues to speak to my heart even in those difficult whys. I get this unexplainable peace. And then I realize that I've been nudged in different directions. For example, I've answered calls to ministry. I've served in schools and in communities that I have because of the way that my brother lived his life. Had I not had a brother that I did, had I not lost him the way that I did, I don't know that I would recognize my call so easily. I don't know that I'd be here today. Prayer is beautiful. It's personal and intimate. And if you allow it to, it can completely transform your life. For me, I've experienced a life of prayer that has shaped my family's life and my life in beautiful ways. We still have times of struggle and doubt, but without prayer, we'd have no hope, no guidance. And I desire that with every fiber of my being for all of you. Fred and I have been talking about that this week, and there is nothing that either of us want more than for you to have this prayer life that is just overflowing with joy and peace, and most of all, understanding during those times that are not that easy. So you have two steps today, and I wish we could do it for you. But if you really want this rejuvenated, amazing prayer life, you have to make that commitment. You have to set out and do it. So the first thing you need to do is get vulnerable before God. Allow the Holy Spirit to get a hold of your heart and bring out all of that stuff that's been getting in your way. And then take the next step. Begin praying to understand what you don't already. And then thank Him for what you do understand, for those blessings that you do see and love. Thank Him and ask Him to enter your heart and your life in ways that you never could have imagined. And I promise you will be thankful and glad that you did. Amen.